Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 12. This is God's word to us this morning. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be wary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. Amen. I had the privilege a couple weeks ago to lead music for the holiday club, and it just so happens that verse 5 and 6 here was our memory verse for the week. So it is burned into my brain. It was also part of our theme song, okay? It included a few actions as well, but I'm going to spare you those this morning, okay? My guess is that some of you have verses 5 and 6 especially memorized. You might even have it on the wall in your house or a bookmark in your Bible. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Wonderful verses, amen? Wonderful. And as familiar as we are with him or not, maybe that's the first time you've heard that this morning, what I want to do is try and read these verses with fresh eyes. Sometimes, right, familiar verses can just wash over us, and we might just kind of tip our cap and say, yeah, these are great verses, and then move on. I want us this morning to try and dig deep and maybe ask this of ourselves: do we really trust God with all our heart? Because if we do trust God, it's going to show up in our lives as fruit. But also, if we don't trust God, that's going to show up as fruit in our lives as well. And also in our text today, there's two ways that we see a little bit of fruit from that trust. I want to look at how we use our money, our wealth, and also how we respond to the Lord's discipline. So three things this morning: trust, let's say tithing, and discipline. If you're taking notes, trust, tithing, and discipline. Let's pray one more time as God speaks to us this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the songs that we just sang. Lord, I ask for grace to trust you more. Lord, if there's anyone here that is struggling to trust you, that you might encourage their hearts this morning. If there's any here today that have never put their faith and trust in you, that today would be the day of their salvation. Pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so first, trust is a very important foundation that we need to lay first, because trust is the basis by which most of things in life operate, right? Trust means to be confident or secure in something. It also means to put yourself wholly at the mercy of another. Okay, did you hear that? To put yourself wholly at the mercy of another. I mean, trust was experienced even just this morning when you sat on these chairs, right? You sat in them enough times, you're trusting that's going to hold you up. Every time you get in an airplane, guess what? You're putting your trust in that pilot that he's going to get you to where you need to go safely. Trust is important for all of our relationships in life as well, isn't it? If we can't trust our family, our friends, our spouse, our kids, it breaks down the relationship, right? Trust is foundational in all of life. One guy said this, all government, all economics, all banking, all institutions, all marriages, all relationships between people are fundamentally governed by trust. Without trust, society deteriorates into paranoia, the feeling that everyone's out to get you. And so verse 5 is immensely important for us this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. First of all, is God trustworthy? Is God trustworthy? Well, to answer that question, I would ask you first to open up your Bibles to see God's interaction with his people through thousands of years of human history. And what you see in Scripture is time and time again, God is indeed worthy of trust. Amen? All the people in the Bible who relied upon the Lord, trusted him in varying circumstances of life, right? Good, bad, everything, all found God to be trustworthy. And you want a short list of that? Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to make a note, go back and look. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Joseph, Moses, David, and on and on. They had faith in God, and they trusted he would make good on what he promised. Some got to see those promises fulfilled. Others still trusted God, not fully realizing the promises. They all found him to be faithful. And many of us, I know in this room, have experienced God's faithfulness and trustworthiness in our own lives, haven't we? I know I have, our family has. Listen, church, God never lies. He always does what he says. He is worthy of trust 100% of the time. And if you're here this morning and God still seems far off, you might be thinking, how can I trust something that I cannot see, right? How can I trust that? You need to first look to Jesus Christ, amen? The ultimate object of our faith and trust. Because that's where we see God come down. He came to us. He fulfilled prophecy and promises that were given in the Old Testament about himself. It came true. And Jesus lived. He lived that perfect life that you and I cannot, as we've talked about. And he died for our sin as a substitute. And he was raised on the third day. And then he appeared alive, right? To the apostles, to over 500 people, and he ascended to heaven. This is true. And Jesus offers us salvation by faith in his finished work. And listen, if trust means putting ourselves wholly at the mercy of another, who better to trust than the one who showed us so much mercy by taking the punishment we deserve on the cross? Amen? Who better to put our trust in? If God has shown himself trustworthy to his people in the Scriptures, highlighted by the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, church, we can trust him with all our heart. Not just some, not just the spiritual things, But in all of it, God is trustworthy. The second half of verse 5 gives us the negative command. Do not then lean on your own understanding. And the word lean is very similar in meaning to trust. It's to support yourself. So it's not just like a little lean like this. Okay, we're talking about full lean. If this thing goes, I'm gone, right? Okay? Something that's going to support you, to hold you up. And so do not lean, rely on, trust your own understanding. Why? Because our understanding is terrible. Our understanding is flawed. It's sin-stained. Trusting in ourselves a lot of times leads to pride. It's the root of so much sin. To think we know better than God. And a lot of our sin, a lot of our struggles in life can be traced back to our lack of trust in God and trusting in ourselves. It's like a doctor, right, who examines the symptoms of a patient. They come in, tell me what's going on. And they're going to look at the symptoms and trace it back to the root problem, what's actually going on, right? If your symptoms are feeling anxious, if you're full of worry, trying to always control your circumstances, root problem, likely, you don't trust God. If you're fearful of the future, fearful of changes, fearful of circumstances, root problem, you probably don't trust God. If you're feeling lost or hopeless or aimless, you lack trust in God. Our failure to trust the Lord shows up in so many ways in our lives because we trust our own understanding. See, part of trusting God is understanding that we don't know it all. That we can't control everything. To humbly admit, listen, I don't have all the answers, but I know someone who does. Our knowledge of situations in life are so small in the big picture. He's infinite. We are finite. We only see what's right in front of us, but God sees everything, church. The big picture. Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. And if we're trusting him, we can be assured that wherever it leads, it is God's will. It's his path. It's the one he wants us on. And you see in verse 6, we see how far the trust of God extends. Look there, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. All. All your heart and all your ways. So not just the big things, but even in the little moments of life. I think, you know, as Christians, I think we're fairly good, right, at acknowledging God in the big things of life. We pray maybe for wisdom, for big decisions in life. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's family stuff. Maybe we're in a trial, right? That's a lot of times when we go to the Lord looking for wisdom. What are you doing, Lord? But what about those little moments in life? The little moments that make up most of our life, by the way, right? So if we're going to acknowledge God in all our ways, do we acknowledge him when we awake? Or is the first thing we do Let's turn over to our cell phone and check our social media feeds. Do we acknowledge God when we just are having a conversation with our spouse or our kids, our friends or our family? Do we acknowledge God before we spend that money? Do we acknowledge Him when we're considering that show or that movie to watch? Do we acknowledge Him when we're at work or at school? Do we acknowledge God when we're around our unbelieving friends and family? How about just when we're making dinner? Or when we discipline our kids? Do we acknowledge God when we're browsing on the computer? Do we acknowledge God when we lay our heads down at night? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That's what it says. Result, and He will make straight your path. He will guide you in life's path, in the ups and in the downs, and everything going on in your day. Because God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's going to give you the light to walk day by day, and everything you have going on. And then verse 7 and 8, it just continues kind of in parallel fashion to verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord. Be not wise in your own eyes. Do not lean on your own understanding. Instead, fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. Result, He's going to make your path straight, and also it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Verse 8. I want you to think of this, church. You have, if you're a believer, God right there with you, the Spirit of God at all times in your life as a guide. As we said last week, God is a storehouse of wisdom for everything in life. We just have to trust Him. We just have to acknowledge Him in all things, and He will guide our path, and He will heal and refresh us. Verse 8 is actually really encouraging. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. We're spiritually and physically rejuvenated. That's a fruit from trusting God with all of our heart. And we consistently see in the book of Proverbs this general truth that if we obey the Lord, if we walk in His wisdom, in His path, and we trust Him, we're blessed and we're refreshed. Look back at verse 2. For the length of days and years of your life, and peace they will add to you. Verse 4, so we find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. We're going to see this theme repeat. It's like a cool drink after a long, hot day like we're having right now, right? Or that beach holiday after a really long season of work or school. That's what we're going to feel. If we trust in the Lord with all our heart and do not lean on our own understanding. Now in verses 9 through 12, there's two situations I want to look at in life where trusting the Lord is important. Money, tithing, and discipline. Look at verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. So it says there, honor God with the first fruits of all your produce. Okay, that means the best. This was seen in the Old Testament. Okay, if you go back and read in Exodus or Leviticus, Deuteronomy, when a crop was harvested, okay, you would give your first fruits, the first portion, okay, usually a tenth, that's tithing, a tenth, back to the Lord, okay, to the temple. But what happens in our lives a lot of times is God kind of gets the leftovers, if anything. Because what we do is we're inclined, right, to spend money on our needs, our wants. And then if anything's left over, then maybe I'll give to the church or help a brother or sister in need. One guy said this, the tragedy with so many people is that they claim to have God in their lives, but they still don't trust him practically. And one of the most significant signs of this lack of trust is that they never get around to honoring the Lord with their finances. For many, it seems like this is an area where we kind of hold on to the longest. But how we get and how we use our money is important to God. We see it in the pages of Scripture. And I know this topic can make us feel a little bit uncomfortable because money is an issue. And we use a lot of our own fallen wisdom to also justify how we get our money and how we use our money. And listen, yes, we need money to live. Right? We need money to live. But because of that, sometimes we can justify the means by which we get money because it's a need. For example, lying to the council. Maybe to get a few more quid off universal credit. Maybe doing a few cash in hand jobs to skirt around the tax man. Or maybe selling something that's illegal or morally wrong or sinful just to make ends meet. How about an OnlyFans account? If you don't know what that is, praise the Lord. Or dealing a few prescription drugs. I got to meet my needs. But we need to ask is how I'm making money honoring to the Lord. Probably more heavy is how we actually use our money. Do we use it wisely? Do we use it to glorify God, or are we continually using it for selfish or maybe even sinful reasons? Now, listen, I've probably said this before, but when I first became a Christian, okay, so this was a while ago. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but most of you know, okay? But when I first became a Christian, I did not understand money and how it related to God, okay? I didn't agree with even tithing to the church because in my mind, my understanding, it's my money. I earned that money. God didn't do anything. I'm the one that went to work, right? He doesn't need it. I need it. But see, what I failed to understand for so many years is that tithing, that giving to the church is not just about supporting the work of the church. It's about honoring God with it. That's what it's about. It's showing that God is the one who actually provides for me. It's showing that God is the owner of all that money. God doesn't want my money. You know what he wants? He wants my heart. That's what he wants. And giving to God is evidence of my trust in him. Do you see? Giving to the Lord, honoring him with my wealth is evidence that I trust you with everything, including my finances. And listen, there's been times when I finally gave up that control and started to honor God, I'll tell you, verse 10 became a reality. He provided above and beyond our needs. There were years, I'm telling you, on paper, it's like, I don't know how. I'm sure some of you have experienced that. Like, there's no way we could have afforded to live. But we were still giving, we were honoring the Lord with our finances, and He provided over and over again. Now, I want to say real quickly to stress this, especially verse 10, this is a proverb, not a promise. What I mean by that is that if you honor God with your money, that doesn't always mean your vats are going to be overflowing, right? And your barn's full. That if I honor God, I'm going to be rich. You may still have seasons where your barns and vats might not be full or bursting. You may not feel God is giving you the return that this proverb says, but as Andy reminded us the first week as we opened the book of Proverbs, we have to be careful how we apply wisdom literature. A proverb is by definition a saying that accurately represents what is usually true. Not usually true, without exception. But here's what I do know. Jesus said that if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. And you know what all those things He's talking about? Your daily provision. So the principle's still there, church. He will provide for your needs. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Now there's one more practical thing that connects to trusting God as we finish, that is dealing with discipline. Verse 11 and 12 there. It says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be wary of His reproof, for the Lord reproves him who He loves as a father the son in whom He delights." How do we respond to discipline? It's going to happen. Did you know that? If you're His child, we can expect it. But why does He do it? Verse 12. "For the Lord reproves him whom He," what? "Loves." God disciplines those whom He loves, just like a father to a son, to a child. Now, I've probably told this story before, and I asked permission from Andy. But when my daughter Andy was in primary school, back in Wyoming, one morning, she got in trouble about something at home, all right? And she went to school a little bit grumpy, and her friend asked her, "What's wrong?" And she's like, I got disciplined. You know, I probably got smacked that morning, all right? And her friend responded by saying, "I never get disciplined." Andy proceeded to say, "Then your parents don't love you." Harsh. The girl ran away crying, told the teacher, and then Andy ended up at the head teacher's office. She was just sharing a proverb. "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." When we'd been teaching her recently. Now listen, I'm not doubting the parents' love for this child, obviously. But listen, if we truly care about our kids, we want to steer them in the right path, don't we? It means we must discipline. If we do nothing but affirm our kids or other people, never correct, they're going to walk the path of evil. They will walk in their own ways. They will walk in their own folly. They will walk in their own wisdom, leading to darkness. And then they will know nothing of the Lord's discipline, especially when it comes later in life. They'll know nothing of it. Discipline from God is a sign of His love It's proof that you're a child of God and he wants to steer you on the right path. The more you're confident in someone's love toward you, the more you can trust them, especially in discipline, to know it's for our good. In Hebrews 12, verses 5 to 11, you can turn there if you'd like to. The author of Hebrews quotes this proverb and gives us just a little bit more to chew on. A promise, even. Hebrews chapter 12, starting halfway through verse 5. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. Amen? Nobody likes discipline. It hurts. My kids don't like it. I don't like it. It points out a fault, points out an issue. It pops that bubble of our pride and it says, what you're doing is wrong. Change. Sometimes God disciplines because we've rebelled and we need to repent. Other times he disciplines to get our attention, to keep us from sin and to walking in his ways. Now listen, I realize some of us in this room have maybe had awful experiences with earthly discipline. Maybe from parents, or step-parents, family, teachers. So I understand that the word discipline comes baggage for some of us. But that doesn't mean we can push discipline away altogether. Andy Prime says this in that Voices book, for those of you that have read that. God's discipline is different than what many of us have experienced. It's not flying off the handle. It's not uncontrolled outbursts of anger. God's discipline is careful. It's controlled and purposeful in love for his children. It's always for our good. It's always aimed at helping us to walk in wisdom, to walk in light of his word, always. It's tempting when God does bring discipline in our lives, as it says there, to be wary of his reproof. That means to shrink back from it. And when we do that, we begin to despise God for his discipline, right? To stop trusting him and to lean on our own understanding. But church discipline is part of how God grows us. It's how he sanctifies us. It's part of how he builds trust. It's part of helping us walk the path of wisdom. Because again, that's what Proverbs is about, isn't it? It's about our Heavenly Father giving wisdom to us as sons and daughters. So as we bring this all together this morning, my challenge to us here today is quite simply, trust him. Not just say, oh yeah, I trust God, but to lean on him. God's ways are so much better than ours. Seeing the world and living life through the lens of God's word will always be superior to living in our own wisdom and understanding. So acknowledge him in all your ways. Even the rest of what you have on today, will you acknowledge him? To trust God and honor God with your money. Maybe even for the first time, give to the church. And to trust him if you're maybe feeling the Lord's discipline just now. Trust, it's with a purpose. These verses can be such a wonderful compass to direct your life if you allow them to. And so that's where I want us to end this morning. Again, reading verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Amen. Amen. God help us.